Sean Salisbury played every damn sport. He played at USC. He played professionally in the NFL. So, Sean, let's just get running here because we're running late. That's our fault. Sean, should, number one, should NCAA players, specifically basketball and football, be paid? Number one. And number two, how do you get around, or do you need to get around, whether or not it would be equitable between sports and between genders?
Well, you know what? I'm all for equal pay when it's equal. Makes sense. Let's just put it this way. If I were to line up, let's say, this has nothing to do with what I prefer. Let's say we use Texas A&M, for example. When you put the men's football team, when you line up on Saturday, how many people show up to that stadium? 105,000, 100,000 every Saturday?
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about the men's basketball team. You line up 10,000. Let's talk about the 4-H club. They ain't selling. Maybe in Texas they might. You're not putting 100,000 people in the 4-H club on a Saturday at 1 o'clock selling out. So, I mean, when we talk about equal pay, and if you're talking about players as well, I mean, does the backup point guard bring as much to the university as the starting quarterback? No, he doesn't. Now, if we're talking UConn basketball, hell yes. The players, Geno, I get it. I'm not just talking about sex to sex, gender. I'm talking about the whole program to program, men to men. I mean, while there has got to be a way, yes, first of all, yes, they should be paid.
Right.
Yes. And when people say, well, the little guys, you know, the slippery rocks of the world aren't going to be in the same position as the USC's. Well, yeah, you're right.
They're not already, right, Sean?
What's that?
I mean, they're already not.
That's exactly right. So, this kind of, when you're going to hear somebody that's going to call in after we get off this or during it or text you or tweet you guys saying, that's ridiculous. They get a free education. No. And I'll use me for example. I didn't get a free education. Well, every other kid was taking vacation. My dad, once I started to play summer basketball or summer football, he said, you know, you're not missing one practice. We're not going on summer vacation. Because when you commit to a team, you're playing. So while every other kid was going on beach vacations and all that, I was playing three sports, football, basketball, baseball, during the summer in three different leagues. And so I had to go to class, and I had to earn my education. And then when I got to USC, I had to schedule my classes around football. I had to take early morning 8 a.m. classes or late-at-night classes and prepare as a football. So I don't want to hear the academia because I'm all about student-athlete, but I don't want to hear the academia saying, well, because you can't work during football season, the athletes can't. Other people can that are on scholarship academically. I don't want to hear somebody say, well, you got a free education. Screw you. No, I didn't. I earned every damn bit of that education, and I earned every bit of the scholarship. We never bitch at the guy who gets the academic scholarship but wasn't good enough to play sports. We don't ever complain at that person. What about the student that's a 3.5 student that goes to Stanford and also played three sports in high school and now is going to go play football or baseball or basketball at Stanford and still have to keep a 3.5 or 3.6 because that's what their family demanded. So I don't want to hear about every time I hear someone, well, you got a free. No, I didn't get a free education. I earned it, just like the student. Like the student does. They've got an academic scholarship. They earned it too. The difference between me and the academic scholarship or the quarterback at Stanford or the running back at Pitt is they also had to play football and schedule their classes around their academic schedule. So it's all equals, and I'm not saying we should be held in higher regard. But you know what? The coaches can do what they want. They get paid by Nike and the rest of it. If they're sponsored, they get extra money. You're damn right, Clay. Now, I don't mean hand-to-hand cash, and I don't know how you would control it, but there's got to be a way, a stipend or money that they – you know, I, for instance, with Manziel, use him as an example. All the jerseys he sold, even though he's a big butthead, all the jerseys he sold at A&M that they're making money off, why shouldn't they take a percentage of his jersey sales and put it in an account for him? So when he comes out, that money, he gets a percentage of the jersey sales. Why isn't that allowed? And I understand that the guy at Bowling Green's not getting the same as the guy at Alabama.
Oh, well.
You know what? Everybody doesn't get a trophy, man. That's the way it works. Sorry.
Well, it's kind of like...
The more you make more. That's the pecking order of life, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like LeBron makes more money than the 15th guy on an NBA roster for a reason. Yes. And when people talk, Sean, about, oh, well, you are getting paid because you're playing for your scholarship, and that is you getting paid to be an I have two jobs right now. I do this radio show and I do the Kings broadcast. So if I were just working the radio show and they said, sorry, you can only have one job. My problem with them is that they pay these players by giving them a scholarship to play. And that's how their education is their payment. But they also put all of these unrealistic caps and expectations on them to say, well, we're not going to allow you to do X, Y, Z because you work for us. And so, therefore, we're going to benefit from this more than you are.
And if we're going by that rule, Katie, if we're going by the rule you're talking about, that they call that they're paying us because we're on scholarship, then I should be able to get any job I want and every endorsement.
Exactly.
If somebody calls me up and says, hey, Sean, there's the computer company, you know, Apple Computer is if you're the best college quarterback in the country, I'd like you to come and give a speech for $50,000 for an hour to talk about leadership to my corporation, to my sales staff.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, why shouldn't we be allowed to do that then, if that's the case, if they're talking about that? So, but when we say, well, they're paying you to be on scholarship, but why don't we say that about the academic student, the student gets an academic, full academic scholarship? Why aren't we saying that about them? And the difference between now, they're going to go on
because no one's jealous of a nerd. Everyone's jealous of an athlete.
Well, you just you just hit the perfect thing. Say that again.
Jealous? No one's jealous of a nerd. Everyone's
Amen.
Jealous of an athlete.
Amen. Well, the bottom line, that nerd may be the owner of the company you end up working for.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But if you're gonna pee in my face, I'll tell me it's raining. They're the biggest joke of a governing body ever. But they're going to keep making money. It even gets to the coach. The coach can up and leave Lane Kiffin from Tennessee to USC if he gets his dream job, and he gets paid more, and there's no punishment. But if a player, the coach leaves after his freshman year that he went to school for and made his first big decision of his damn life, and he went there to school because that coach recruited him and came into his living room and told his parents, and he was a 17-year-old, that I'm going to be your father away from home. I'm here for you. And then a year later gets his dream job and leaves. The kid's looking around saying, well, I went to Tennessee because I loved Lane Kiffin.
Then they penalize the kid for wanting to leave.
Yes. And now the kid says, well, wait a minute. He leaves. Why can't I? No, dude, you got to sit out a year. Sorry. So I don't want – the kid gets completely – NC2A kid, student-athlete, gets more hoes than anybody. So the academia, again, who calls in and says, no, they got a free education. No, they didn't get a free education. They earned it because they're a little bit more skilled as an athlete and also had to keep academic grades up to get that scholarship. So that argument does not bode well with me when I hear that crap, and I'm tired of it.
What about the idea, Sean, as Sean Salisbury joins us on KHTK, that these players aren't worth the value that we put on them because ultimately the fans are rooting for their alma mater, and it doesn't matter who you put in the jersey. They're going to pack that football stadium, say, every Saturday.
Agreed. But they still buy jerseys and they still show up. And I'll tell you, when they won't pack that stadium, start going 2-9 about 15 years in a row.
Yeah.
They'll show up at Alabama. But, you know, there was a time in Alabama football when I think it was Mike DeBose, when they were struggling before Nick and all that bit. It wasn't the same now. And there was a time at SC when that Coliseum was half full. And I'm talking about as recent as 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a time. So I do get it, but let's no mistake about it. When you get in, like, friend, North Carolina basketball, you're right. They're going to show up there. But have Roy Williams go, you know, 8-24 mm-hmm. 7 years in a row and tell me that student athlete doesn't matter. And when you go to that bookstore and you're buying Jackson's jersey, or when Michael played there, by a number of his jersey. I mean, people could say all they want, they're going to show up. But eventually, winning begets fans showing up and spending money. Losing, coaches get fired, people don't show up, they find something else to do on a Saturday afternoon.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, Sean, is that, yeah, like, people are still going to root for that laundry. But at the same time, if it truly didn't matter at all, why are the Alabamas and North Carolinas chasing the best players? Because it does matter about winning.
Right, and why do we pay coaches? Why is Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban and those guys making $7 to $9 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Because it does matter. And when the second you get what's the first thing we say at the end of recruiting? Oh, they were 27th on the recruiting class. They were 46th. What's wrong? What's wrong? But then you go get the great guys and you win. Ah, we got the number one recruiting class. There you go. So the players get hosed six ways to Sunday. And I'll tell you, and Jay Billis is the greatest advocate for players on the planet against the NC2A. And he's right. Somehow, some way, you know what? Hey, it's called, it's back to the everybody gets a trophy and the butthurt people that we, there's a pecking order in life, man. Like you mentioned about LeBron, or I'm talking about the, hey, you know what? Unfortunately, the guy that Bowling Green that didn't get recruited by Alabama, well, then he's going to have to take, then he's going to have to understand that their scholarship check may be a little different than the dudes at USC. There's got to be a way to, you know, to make sure that it's fair within reason. And I don't want hand-to-hand cash, but you know what? As long as we have these rules like this, trust me, most kids, every football program in the country or good basketball program in the country, some alumni, for the most part, is handing kids on that school. And I can remember when an alumni walked up to me. Right? We had an alum. He'd come take us to lunch and hand me $200 in cash and shake my hand and put it in my hand. You know why? Because he knew the $416 a month scholarship check that had to pay my rent and for my food during non-football season wasn't really enough to get by in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He'd hand you a couple $100 so you could take your girlfriend out to a pizza and beer. And you know what? I don't regret it one bit, and neither does the kid at Michigan, Ohio State, SC now, who had an alumni walk up and say, hey, let me buy you lunch. Man, your TV looks screwed up. Man, you guys could use one of my extra TVs. Let me put it in your apartment. Okay? Those things do happen and will always continue to happen because they make it impossible for the student-athlete to get a job or to do the things. But they'll keep reaping the benefits of making a ton of money, and they'll put it in their pocket, and they'll rob Peter to pay Paul, but the quarterback or the center or the offensive guard or the best basketball player sitting there selling jerseys like hotcakes, and the school's reaping the benefit, and so is the company who printed the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Salisbury joining us on KHTK. And, Sean, we've only got a couple minutes, and I know we agree on a lot of this. There's also the title, Nine Problems,
yeah.
Gender Equity.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Since the NCAA can't get their you-know-what together, and this thing seems to have, you know, how do you pay Bowling Green guys opposed to Syracuse guys opposed to Florida guy? What about this? In football and basketball, the NCAA is effectively the minor league system for the NBA and the NFL. Would a possible solution simply be to cut the NCAA out and create a professional minor league system for both sports where kids out of high school who are of adult age could go and get paid based on how good they are or how good they can be and then get drafted out of those leagues into the professional sports and just forget college altogether?
Just a little thing, Dave, and you make great sense. We're just talking about sports. But I still think, I loved the college atmosphere.
Me too.
You know, I had the college atmosphere that went with it, of the pomp and circumstance. You can keep NFL Sunday. The only reason I go to NFL, I've been to one NFL game in 15 years. I watch them on TV, but I'll go to college games because of the atmosphere. And that's the truth. That's the way I feel. So I get what you're saying. Hell, I've always thought, and I know Northwestern was talking about it, I'd love to be the guy that helped start a union. And I know they've talked about for college players.
Right.
NCAA, they need a union. Now, I'm all for cutting out the NCAA governing body. I'm not all for cutting out the college experience in itself because I think it's important. And obviously, those experiences, you'll remember far more than you do $50 extra that you made or $100 mm-hmm. or $100,000. The money gets spent, the memories don't.
Sean Salisbury hosts the Sean Salisbury Show, 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific, SB Nation Radio. Also hosts Unfiltered on ESPN Radio as well. Sean, you can follow him online on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered. You're the best, buddy. We'll talk to you next Monday. We still got to get a take from you out of the Oakland Raiders moving and so much more. There's never enough time, but we always appreciate you coming on.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Sean.
Brother. Sean Salisbury. So, you know, the text line's fired up, too.
There's no easy solution
there
to this.
There isn't.
There's really not.
You brought up abolishing the NCAA, and to me that just tries to ignore a problem that's always going to exist, because even if you go that route, wipe the slate clean, take every college athlete and put them in a minor league, there are always going to be college students that are going to want to play basketball.
Sure.
Or organize something. And before you know it, and it might take 20, 30 years, but before you know it, the students are going to organize. They're still going to be North Carolina playing Duke in basketball. Like, it's all just going to come back.
Let's talk about that next, Nate, because for me, I agree with Sean. The college experience is fantastic, but you said it yourself, and that's what gave me the thought there. You're rooting for the laundry. you're rooting for the school. So in my opinion, the best of the best are going to be in the paid minor leagues. You're going to have the true student athletes that are playing basketball and football, because if they were good enough, they're going to be making cash in those minor league systems.
And if you're rooting for the laundry,
we can do it in the night.
Okay. Nate will have first response when we get back. Did you have a word from somebody there?
No.
Or no? You were pointing and gesticulating. I didn't know if I
meant that. No, I just wanted to say something.
I misread your sign. You're first up next. Don't go away. Nate Goodyear is going to slam me around in 4 minutes on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.